Good morning. I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. My guest today is Karen York, who is Senior Policy Advocate at the Job Opportunities Task Force, where she advocates, and I must say with considerable expertise, to help remove barriers for low-income workers. It is great to have you with me today, Karen.
Thank you, David. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
So a lot of our listeners are probably not as familiar as they should be with Job Opportunities Task Force. Why don't you tell us exactly what you do?
Sure. So Job Opportunities Task Force is a statewide independent nonprofit organization based in Baltimore. And our focus are low-wage workers and helping them to advance to high-wage jobs. So that includes supporting different programmatic initiatives in addition to policy initiatives.
You know, in the wake of Freddie Gray, the international press is going to be focused on Baltimore and particularly focused on how we help the least fortunate among us. And the least fortunate among us need jobs. So let's talk about what you think is getting in the way and what we need to do to really make the legacy of Freddie Gray something that's truly meaningful.
So, you know, first I have to start off by saying Job Opportunities Task Force, I am just excited that there's this renewed focus on jobs, specifically in communities such as Sandtown, Winchester, where Freddie Gray lived and died. But I think that we would be remiss if we ignore certain barriers that have historically prevented many of these residents from entering the workforce and from accessing many of these opportunities. You know, recently the Justice Policy Institute just came out with a report titled The Right Investment, and it pretty much just analyzed the amount of money that the state of Maryland is spending across the state. And it showed that 25 of Baltimore's 55 communities contain more than half of the state's correctional population. And the one community that sends the most individuals to state prisons, the one community that the state spends up to $17 million in corrections, is in the Sandtown-Winchester community. Not to mention, when you have a large number of residents that have interacted with the criminal justice system, you have a high unemployment rate. You have more than half of Sandtown-Winchester community residents that are unemployed. And many of them are unemployed due to the fact that they have a criminal record. And many times it's not a criminal record for a conviction, right? Many times it's a criminal record for, you know, a simple arrest, a charge that, you know, was dropped or just did not result in a guilty conviction. And you're finding that those individuals that are prevented from accessing those job opportunities because of that criminal record are re-engaging those violent opportunities and pretty much becoming reacclimated back into the criminal justice system. It's that vicious cycle, you know, the you can't get a job, you need money. How am I going to get money? The only way I can think of getting money is to do something illegal. So, you know, when we're talking about jobs, whether it's youth, whether it's adults, you know, a significant number of city residents have a criminal record, dated criminal records. And if we're not going to do something about the fact that they have criminal records, if we're not going to, you know, engage employers to encourage them to look past a dated criminal record, specifically if it's for a null pros or something, an arrest or a charge that didn't result in a conviction. If we're not looking at all these different avenues, then we're really not going to be successful in connecting these residents with jobs.
So thank you for joining me this morning. It's always great to be with you.
Thank you.
For more of this interview, visit www.warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org. Baltimore's Future is produced by the Warnock Foundation for WIPR. For the Warnock Foundation, I'm David Warnock.